This Sunday and next, I want to continue to talk about false prophets. And this morning, we're going to be in the 1 John chapter 4. And the title of this is Test the Spirits. We're going to talk briefly this morning. John talked about what's behind false prophecy. And hopefully by the end of this text, you'll clearly understand why I chose this text and what it was that is being said. All right, he says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Father, I thank you for the truth of your word, that you have left it here for us to read, to meditate on, to grow. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, who you've given to us, who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. And you said, Lord, that he would teach us all the truth and bring things to our remembrance that you have said to us. I thank you for that anointing that John speaks of in this text, that we have received from you, that we might know the truth. I pray today, Lord, that you will be glorified through this lesson, and that we will be encouraged and drawn closer to you, and also made aware of any underlying dangers that we may come across. Help us to be discerning as your children, Lord. I ask this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I said by the end of this message, I think you'll understand why I chose this text and how pertinent it is for us today. Many books have been written about the Antichrist. Many movies have been made about Antichrist. And he is believed to be a person revealed in the book of Revelation who is going to be a man literally possessed of the devil and will be the leader of the one world government in the last days. And his sole purpose is going to be to draw people away from God and to him. There's a lot of books and movies made about him. And we look to this as a future thing. You know, they look to this as a future thing. And in today's text, I didn't read, I think it's chapter 1 or chapter 3, John said to the church, you have heard that Antichrist is coming, and he said there's already a lot of Antichrist here today. So this has been 2,023 years ago. In fact, he said the spirit of Antichrist is here. So they talked about an Antichrist in the church, in the early church. I don't deny that. But John kind of, he gets their attention and says, he's already here. The spirit of Antichrist is already here. Now, we'll touch a little more on that just a little further on. In today's text, John warned the church that the spirit of Antichrist was already at work within the world and in some of the churches. Men of corrupted minds who had left the church for one reason or another had begun to introduce false teachings in an attempt to deceive people of that day and turn them away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said they would be set out to make disciples for themselves. And John is warning the church that there were false teachers coming into the church. And their main goal was to preach another gospel. And you remember Paul said to the church at Galatia, whether we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you, let them be accursed. So they had zero tolerance, the apostles did, for a false gospel. And they called it for what it was and as they saw it. John gave us a test, gave them a test at that time that is still pertinent for today. And I have used this and it's never failed in talking with professed Christians or maybe Christian cults. This is a test that has never failed me. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. John started out saying, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone into the world." It disturbs me that in a Christian cult, and I'm sorry to say in a lot of churches today, people don't read their Bible. Well, if Rick said it, good enough for me. Don't do that. Rick might mislead you. Rick might be misinterpreting Scripture. I might be telling you wrong. When I bring a message, my hope is you're going to go home and go into it. You're going to go into the Scriptures, and you're going to search it out. So John said to the church, don't believe every spirit. Test them. Well, what do we test them by? The Word. The Holy Spirit will not contradict the Word of God. There are no extra biblical revelations. There's a group now I mentioned last week, and Wanda had heard about it, you know, and we talked about it a few minutes, called the New Apostolic Reformation. And they hold that the Word of God is the Word of God, and any Holy Spirit revelation is not new, but it can supplement. All right. That means it can be something different than what it says, but it's not new. Well, John said, you better test that spirit. Test it by the Word of God. If you have to reword the Bible to fit your doctrine, something is wrong with your doctrine. And church, we have the Word of God. John is warning the church then. Now, they had the Old Testament. This is before there was a New Testament put together. They had the Old Testament. They had the Holy Spirit. John told them, you really don't need to be taught. I mean, the anointing of the Holy Spirit will teach you. But he was concerned because there was false doctrines coming into the church. And he said, look, church, don't just believe everybody that comes through there and says this is a biblical revelation. He said, you got to test that. Well, you test it to the Word. All of the apostles knew that the false teachings that were coming into the church in that day were demonic in origin. That's a strong statement. And there's many today, we's talking about cultural Christianity this morning, they'll say, well, that's unkind. You shouldn't say that something's demonic. You know, that makes us think of evil and wicked. But the apostles called it for what it was. It was demonic. I told you last week, and I'm going to mention it again, the apostle Paul warned a young pastor named Timothy that in the latter days, he said, the Spirit expressly says that some will desert or depart from the faith, devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. So Paul didn't pull any punches there with Timothy. Now, I'm making a point, they're making a point, and we'll get to the point here towards the end of the message, and you'll see why I wanted to go this way this morning. I wrote two examples in my notes of teachings that were present at the time of the early church. These were heresies that had come into the church. And what impressed me when I read church history, the church elders and the apostles said, no, that is not the word. It will not be taught here. It won't be tolerated. But they recognized the source. The early Gnostics, Gnosticism in its earliest form, taught that Jesus was not a man, but a spiritual apparition. An apparition just means a ghost. He did not appear in the flesh. He only looked real. Well, when you read the first chapter of this epistle, this is why John words it this way. He writes, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands. That was a direct refute to what the false doctrine that was trying to get into this church. John said, nuh-uh, we touched him. You remember what happened when the Lord was raised in the Gospel of John, and he appeared to the 11, and it said they were terrified and thought he was a spirit. You remember what the Lord did? Said he reached out his hands and said, touch me, feel me. A spirit doesn't have flesh and bones. And it said when they were still unconvinced, he asked them for something to eat, and he ate some honeycomb and broiled fish. So this group comes in and says Jesus wasn't real as a man. He was a spiritual being, but he wasn't a real man. And John said, no, we touched him. He was real. There was another group which became known as the Arians. It became the Arian heresy. Jehovah's Witness teach that. I know people sometimes they say, oh, you shouldn't call names, that's not kind. I'm not here to be kind, is the way I feel about it. You call a spade a spade. The Jehovah's Witness teach Arianism. And their founder in 1848, I believe it was, said an angel revealed this new revelation to him. It wasn't new. It was over 1,800 years old. It just changed names. So the Arians taught that Jesus was more than a man, but he was less than God. And they compromised and said he was an angel. It was an angel. Now, when I'm giving you these verses, I know a lot of you sitting out there, you can think of verses in your mind that said Jesus was not an angel. The book of Hebrews really focuses that on the first chapter. But they said that he was less than God, but he was more than man. John, again, in his gospel, refutes this. You ever wonder why sometimes when you're reading the Bible, why does this start out like that? Why did John in the first John, why did he start out, we touched him, we seen him? Why did he start his letter like that instead of saying, dear church? John was directly dealing with heresy that was in the church. In the Gospel of John, he said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So in these four verses of the first chapter of his gospel, John says that God himself became a man and lived among us and taught us. Why did John make that statement? Because there was heresy had come up in the church and they said, no, he was an angel. John here said, no, he was God himself. According to the commentaries I've read, I've never had Greek, but they said the Greek is in the emphatic tense, and it can be translated the Word was God himself, or the Word himself was God. You think John's trying to make a little point here? Now, the reason that I'm going this route, this is how this came to me when I think about these things and how do you explain these things, how these things come about. This statement, I said there was a test. This is the test I want to give to you. I call it a litmus. You can spot a phony doctrine this quick. These statements right here clarify the next two verses in 1 John. Now listen, he says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Now, I mentioned the JWs. They came and were talking to me one day, and I mentioned this passage. And they said, ah, but we do confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, so we're from God. I said, okay, is he God? No, he's an angel. And I explained to them, John said here what he was saying in this statement, any spirit that does not confess to you that God became a man is not from God. And they just, our translation here says a God. Well, in the book of Isaiah, God said, I am the first and I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. So how can your translation say Jesus was a God and contradict your own Bible in the Old Testament when God's Jehovah said there is no other God? And this test for me has stood the test of time. I had a guy from Armstrong's Church of God come to me and want to share the gospel, and I love to listen to the gospel, and I go, yeah, and he got through the gospel, and I said, can I ask you a question? Yeah, I said, do you believe Jesus is God in the flesh? No. I said, then what you just said has no meaning to me. I said, you are believing a false prophet. Herbert W. is dead now. Garner Ted, I think, has died, but the church is still going. And I know people say, oh, Rick, that's so mean. You know, we're not up here to lamb blast anybody. Hey, if they want to teach false prophecy, I'm not afraid to point it out because the Word of God points it out. Now, I said I was coming to a point, and you're saying, hurry up and get to the point. Okay. This, John identifies this in the end of verse 3. This is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming into the world and is here already. Let that settle in a minute, church. John made these statements and he told the church very boldly and very honestly, this is the spirit of Antichrist. It's important for the church to realize that we are in a very real and dangerous spiritual war. It is not because these teachers think differently. It is not because they're on a different path. It is not because they interpret the Bible differently. And I've heard all that. There was a pastor that I was very fond of, still am. He's gone now. A lot of respect. And one day he said, well, Rick, Jehovah's Witnesses just believe a little different than we do. And I said, how can you say that? They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. That's not different. And what the apostles were saying to the church then and now is, look, church, you better realize there's a spirit behind this. This isn't just somebody misinterpreting, misunderstanding. This is demonic. Now, I don't go around slamming the doors in their faces and saying, get out of here, you demon-possessed. But I just tell them, I don't want to listen to what you got to say. If they press it, then I say, well, you're a false prophet. You're speaking through a lion's spirit. But it bothers me today that the attitude that I see in a lot of churches and I hear out a lot of God's people, well, they just believe a little different. What's the big deal? You know, why you got to be so hard on that? It's not believing different, it's demonic. Church, we are in a war. And if you are following Jesus Christ, you are in a war. And Satan is against you. And this war is for the souls of people. All right? Now, how do you fight a spiritual war? prayer, study of the word. You don't get out there and fist fight. You want to sometimes. We get into it in the church and we fight and squabble among ourselves. What's the Bible say? We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not your enemy. It's the devil himself is your enemy. In fact, when John said the spirit of Antichrist, that's who he's talking about. The devil himself. Jesus said of the devil that he was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character. For he is a liar and the father of lies. That's, man, that's cut and dried for me. That's black and white. Now, I'm not saying that you don't know this. I'm probably preaching to the choir. But it was so impressed on me this week that we in the church have to remember this is a spiritual war that we're in. And not to take these false teachings lightly and say, well, that's just the way they believe. The apostle said it's demonic. That's why John said, don't even welcome them into your house. Don't become partakers of their false teaching and what they're doing. Now, there's a difference between doctrine and dogma. And I'm not preaching against denominations. Doctrine is what we get from the word dogma. Sometimes is how we interpret doctrine. Okay, there's a little difference there. John is talking about outright false doctrine. And this has worked for me. Since all the years I've been reading the Bible, when I found this out, I have talked to a lot of different groups that talk Christian, act Christian. Remember Jesus said, they look like sheep, they talk like sheep, but they're wolves. And that's one question I have found. It seems like the devil can't cross that line. Is how I perceive it. Is Jesus God in the flesh? And they will every time say no. He's a God. He's an angel. He's a good moral man. He wasn't really here. Christian Science said he was a consciousness who came on the man Jesus at his baptism and then left when he was crucified. And then they went on to say he really didn't die. He fainted and they put him in the tomb. And he woke up and pushed a 6,000-pound stone out of his way and walked 8 miles to Damascus, naked as a jaybird. What bothers me is people believe that. Oh, that explains the resurrection. Now, I'm not harping on you. But what I'm trying to say to us as a group of sisters, brothers and sisters, open our eyes. Realize when you hear this, this isn't, like I said, this isn't just somebody's interpretation. It is demonic. And if you got family that's getting involved in this, you better take it serious. You need to have a heart-to-heart with them. And at least warn them. They might say you're a fanatic and you're crazy and you don't know what you're talking about, but at least you warned them. Pray for them. You can pray and say, Lord, take that veil off of their hearts. Take the blinders off so they can see the truth. There's only one true gospel. It's contained in the Bible. Paul said there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We don't need any others. God the Word became the man, Jesus, and he died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. He was buried in a tomb. 3 days later, he came to life. He ascended back into heaven. He's at the right hand of God. Now he's interceding for those who follow him. That means he's praying for us, but he is coming back to judge the world. The living and the dead. And my Bible says he's coming back with fire. The cross of Jesus Christ is the only way you can be saved. Mohammed can't save you. Buddha can't save you. Confucius can't save you. And the list goes on and on and on. Jesus is the only way you'll come to God. The other paths are going to eventually lead you to God, but not in the way you want to go. Because when you stand before Him, and when I stand before Him on the last day, the day of judgment, God will call you to account for your life. He's going to call me to account. And if you reject Jesus Christ, you will stand there with all of your sins on your head. And God is a just God, and you will be judged for those sins. Paul said, don't let somebody steal your crown through the philosophies of men and false teachings. Now, I'm paraphrasing that. But Paul said, don't let somebody take it away from you. Church, there are, and it's alarming to me, there are churches that have always claimed to be mainline evangelical churches that are getting pulled into these false doctrines and teaching them as truth. And I want us to be aware this is demonic. And if we have family or friends drifting into that, we should care enough about them to say, you don't want any part of this. And if you need, sit down with the Word and say, this is what the Word says. I watched a very popular preacher from Springfield, I'm not going to name him, was preaching out of the book of Acts and misquoting and changing words. And the words were right there, but he was changing them. And I'm sitting there thinking, if you got to change that word to fit your doctrine, you need to change your doctrine. If you got to make the Scripture say something they don't say, something's wrong. Now, everybody makes mistakes. I've been preaching and said, you know, Moses when I meant Noah. I've heard a lot of ministers do that. But this guy intentionally swapped words. Very big church in Springfield. If I had family going to that church, I'd be giving them a phone call saying, could we sit down and talk? Could you and I meet, just bring our Bibles, and let's just sit down and talk? Bathe it in prayer. God, they're blind. They're being deceived. Paul said in Thessalonians that God Himself will send a strong delusion on this earth that they might be damned who refuse to believe and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a prayer of mine. God, don't let me be deluded. It's as if God, well, I think it is that God's going to say, all right, you don't want to believe me? Believe the lie. Because if you quit preaching the truth, that's all that's left. It's a lie. So the main point today that I wanted to make for you, and that John and Paul and the others made with the early church, was look, don't slough this stuff off and say it's just a little different. Understand its origin. It's demonic. Would you stand with me this morning? There's one gospel, one truth, one way, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Have you ever called out on the name of the Lord personally? Nobody can do that for you. And you know what I'm talking about. Nobody can call on the Lord for you but you. Have you done that? If you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, call out to Him. It says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord, whoever turns from sin and turns to God and is baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins will receive the Holy Spirit. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. Okay, I'm just repeating what I read. Have you ever made that decision yourself? Not mom or dad or grandparents or anybody. Have you personally ever called out to God and said, this is me. I need this. Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I won't drive you away. That's so cool to me that he's, it doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus said, I'm not going to turn you away and go, you're too nasty. What an offer of mercy and grace we have, church. Take advantage of that. If you've never done that, I don't try to embarrass people. If you want to talk after the service, come and talk to me. You want to call me sometime, talk about it, call me. This is important. Have you personally made that decision? Have you personally called out to God? Don't depend on anybody else to do it for you. You have to do it.